All right, can we move on then to the HBF presentation? Well, I think I better declare interest as Mrs. Brook is about to present. Mrs. Brook is going to present Pat Stephen Bradley, Marine Study Team Manager. Essentially, I believe this is looking at land, water interface, and water-dependent uses. Thank you very much. When you're ready, thank you.
Thank you very much, and I'm sorry I've just sort of moved around from one side of the table to the other. I actually represent, as you can see, the Business Environment Council, but just to explain to some members who don't understand, the Harbour Business Forum is actually part of the Business Environmental Council. We were formed under the council, under BEC, and we are an alliance of 120 businesses within Hong Kong who have a great interest in what happens on our harbour and making the best value contribution to our harbour that they possibly can. We're essentially a research-based organisation. We're sort of, I think ourselves as something as a think tank in the area of the harbour. And the marine study, which I'll present now, of the initial findings, because we haven't yet completed it, will be the 14th report that we've completed, and those who've been members of the ATC will know that we have presented several of our reports to you in the past, and I'm very pleased to see some of the ideas included in some of the studies that we've just heard about. I'd also like to recognise the work that has been done by Stephen and by our two interns on this particular project. We haven't had any consultants on this. We have been doing it in-house under our best practice committee because we soon realised that probably sat on the best practice committee were most of those people who knew as much as we think we thought we could find out about land interface in Hong Kong at the moment. And obviously we've had to go and talk to people like marine departments and lots of other people who've helped us. But we haven't had a consultant on this, and I'm very grateful for the work the assistance we've had. Background. We did circulate a background presentation just to show you where we were coming from in the preparation of the marine study. But we regard this as a natural follow-on to our previous work, which is mainly focused on the harbour front and against the harbour. We emphasise that the study is ongoing and that the final reports and proposals will not be available until April. But we do think the harbour needs to be looked at and planned and managed on a holistic and integrated basis. That studying the harbour front without taking any consideration of what happens on the water seems to us really a rather strange way to proceed. It underlies quite a lot of what we'll have in our study. It's the HBF vision for the harbour, which is, I'll just quickly write, and you'll recognise most of it, to revitalise Victoria Harbour and its harbour front, to become an attractive, diverse, vibrant, accessible and sustainable world-class asset for the economy, people and visitors of Hong Kong. A harbour for the people, a harbour of life. Study objectives, I won't read them all out, but water-dependent and water-related uses have not always received the attention that we consider they deserve when considering harbour planning. These are important and relevant. They should be provided with appropriate landside facilities and amenities so they can prosper. As Mrs. Dan said earlier on, it's no good having a farm built with no an orchard. You have things that have to be on the harbour because that's really what we're tied to. Under three, looking at the harbour in the round, so to speak, would enable delivery of an integrated strategic plan to ensure a more cohesive, logical, attractive and vibrant harbour for all. And just to be clear, we'll move on quickly after this, I'm picking up on the planning department's previous presentation. By strategic plan, we mean a descriptive plan with both text and illustrative visuals and graphics, which considered in a comprehensive and integrated way, i.e. not just individual projects, but institutional regulatory management framework within which they have to be delivered. The existing situation and set up what should be done where, when, how, and by whom to deliver a pre-agreed vision, the top-down bit. Including how specific projects and programs will deliver key priorities, and that's in terms of importance, not priority in terms of time, such as diversity, accessibility, social and economic benefits, which all contribute to the ultimate achievement of, we hope, the harbour, which Hong Kong can be really proud of. A strategic plan may take many months, many years to mature. It allows several step changes where necessary, and does not mean overturning everything that is existing or planned in the short term. What it does do is establish a long-term destination and provide a route map for getting there. And any decision or action should be made or taken within the context and parameters of the agreed strategic direction. Strategic plans remain flexible and to some extent are organic, whereas master plans, in our view, tend to be rather fixed and allow little room for reaction to future aspirations and events, which can, of course, make it necessary to make changes. The goals of this study. The expansion of the HBF database was one of our prime goals. In our view, it's not possible to plan successfully until you have comprehensive and accurate baseline information. We then reviewed what we have now in the light of current and anticipated future trends to understand what new uses could be introduced to enhance the harbour's value to Hong Kong and the impact of those uses on the land-water interface. And we want to recommend specific projects and programs to enable delivery of an integrated strategic plan. Water-dependent and water-related uses have been mentioned, and we're justifying these. It's very much what Winston said, what must and what should be on the harbour, because the harbour usage and the way the harbour needs to continue to contribute to Hong Kong. So water-dependent, what physically must be located on, over, or adjacent to the water to achieve its primary purpose or service, moorings, piers, hiding shelters, ferries, etc. Water-related, not dependent on direct water access to achieve its primary purpose, but provides support to water-dependent uses. Many are economically important, while others add to the enjoyment of the harbour by residents and tourists. Study framework. The final study report will comprise a baseline audit and analysis of marine, water and waterfront uses, both existing and permitted, in and around harbour, with focus on the water dependent and water related uses, with again enablement of that database via Google Earth Pro, identification and characterisation of geographic subdivisions within the harbour, and gap analysis as to the potential harbour and waterfront opportunities based on our HBS vision and the stakeholder input. The gap analysis is to inform future plans through analysis of the difference between desired vision performance of the harbour and the current reality. The baseline data has been compiled based on the WPI 2010 study, which we actually did bring to the committee last year, a database of marine related structures in or on the harbour. And this has been expanded to include a range of features. I won't read them all out, but as you can see, there's really quite a wide range of data now included, exactly where they're located, lots of information about them. It's a live database, it's multi-layered, an easily searchable GIS, developed in Google Earth, with a related Excel database with ability to use Street View and other photographs of harbour and the harbour front. It gives all sorts of information, which I'll demonstrate in just a moment, some of it. And really, the best thing about it is that it can be expanded as we go forward. So it's live in the sense of being updated on an ongoing basis. And the DHBF intends to establish a specific website to access this database, and thought is being given now as to how best to keep it updated and as comprehensive as possible. And that obviously will need the involvement of a lot of other people apart from just HBF to keep it really comprehensive and useful. The following slides are simply screens from the database to demonstrate what the database can do and the depth and range of the data available. We're not going to show it live today because people do tend to get rather focused on Googling areas of interest, and we never quite get on to the rest of the state. Whilst the data available is hollow-wide, we've delineated what we consider to be logical subdivisions for ease of data display, and although the sample screens focus on Houston Harbour, similar information is available for each of the other areas. So we've got the interfaces, as I say, for the Houston Harbour here, and these can be measured, and the pie charts show the various aspects, what is a recreational space, those commercial industrial percentages, there's infrastructure, how many piers, local piers, public piers, etc. And this can be searched in various different ways. And we just put out two or three information points just to show the range of information available. Hinterland, the Eastern Harbour, these are committed predominant uses of the hinterland. Because obviously what happens on the water and what happens in the land are closely related. But of course there are times when they're not compatible. And we need to know where those incompatibilities arise to help with future planning. The water character. Here we have the water interface through the land. What happens on the water? Some of this is aspirational, some of this could be actual. We have been looking at how areas of water, protected water, where it's busy, where there are ferries, what you could do on a recreational basis once you can understand that land and water interface. And then this brings the whole thing together. I have to say, when you bring everything into one screen, even live, it tends to get quite complicated, but it does show the massive information. It shows all the relativities too, and the relationships that one needs to bear in mind when you're planning such a large area. We also believe in public engagement, and we've had stakeholder workshops and interviews all the way through this. We regard this as a key part of our research, and during the preparation of the IHS, that was the integrated harbour study, which we did last year. We introduced stakeholder workshops, which included representatives from government, the private sector, NGOs, and concern groups. And we've done the same with this marine study as well. Some members here today will have attended the first one. It was held in November, and the views expressed then, together with those gathered on one-on-one interviews, and we've done about 35 to 40 of those now, with a wide range of additional stakeholders, underpin the proposals which will be put forward. We've had a range of proposals which I'll come to if I get some programmes, but the assessment guidelines we've adopted, which is a sort of a philosophy, principles, as Winston said just now. As this is a marine study, first and foremost, assessment of the proposals were undertaken with a view to enhancing and perhaps rationalising water usage within the harbour, while at the same time bearing in mind associated land-water interfaces. Vibrancy depends on activity. Priority should be given to essential and valuable water-dependent and water-related uses. Flexible water transport is generally considered a good thing. Good reclamation is somewhat more contentious. But harbour enhancement, as against harbour stagnation, to some extent depends on a sensible debate in the community about proportionality, which again I think you've heard Winston mention. So the harbour can provide the optimum in terms of both public benefit and public interest. Proposed projects and programmes. Following assessment, under the terms of the previous assessment factors, and fairly rigorous SWOT analysis, six projects and programmes were identified for further evaluation. Flexible water transport system, for example, water taxis around the harbour's edge, in the marina, for instance, Taiwan or Yaton. Water-based events, arenas and facilities, rowing and dragon boat racing near Kaita, perhaps an international yacht race, fishing arena, off the central waterfront. Rationalisation of the working harbour, more flexible and efficient use of existing cargo handling areas, aggregation got summer uses and it's just been working areas for harbour. And we have spoken to Marine about this and we do understand the difficulties of the long-term nature, but it's something we would like to take put some further input into. We would like to look... Sorry, I crossed press too soon. We'd like to look at a dock, perhaps, for heritage vessels. The Maritime Museum has been relocated to the waterfront. Could there be a permanent dock for heritage vessels to reflect Hong Kong's maritime history? And then revitalisation of the piers, which comes up on many occasions. There are many piers which are underutilised, it seems, but as yet inaccessible to the public. Not all need structures on them to make them attractive. In New York, there are many open piers which are thronged at weekends with walkers or people just enjoying standing in the middle of the Hudson River. Maybe there's a role for more passive use of piers in some areas of Hong Kong. Ongoing work. The study team is currently preparing project definitions statements following the identification of the potential PP, well, projects and programs, sorry, we call them PPs because we refer to them so often as part of the study. And we're now working on stage two of the study. Of the project definition statements, further analysis of the environmental, social, and economic impacts of the various proposals, including direct and indirect value added, plus a review of institution and regulatory issues which might need to be resolved in order to implement the proposal successfully. We feel that delivering just a lot of good ideas without actually looking into what might be constraints on the delivery and trying to help resolve those constraints is not a very good way of delivering a research piece. The final report, as you will note from the details on the slide, while our final report will be fairly comprehensive, it only takes matters so far. As an NGO, HBF considers it simply does not have the resources, or in fact the mandate, to take the proposal much further. Engineering, marine, and technical feasibility studies, study of construction costs, optimum funding, operating, procurement, and management mechanisms for each project and program require further research, and we do appreciate this. However, it's only worthwhile doing such research within the context of a formal, comprehensive strategic plan, as the answers to quite a lot of these topics will depend much on the timing, location, interfaces, and future institutional arrangements. And whilst we can make recommendations, that's as far as we can go. We can make recommendations, we can put forward ideas, we can put forward ways those ideas could be implemented. But of course, in the end, it's not up to us as to whether they're adopted or whether they're taken forward. However, we still think it's relevant doing these studies, and it doesn't detract, we think, from the usefulness of the study once it's complete. The database will provide a comprehensive audit of existing and committed water land uses and interfaces, together with other relevant and associated information. The study will make an initial attempt to zone predominant water uses with a view to rationalising and optimising future uses within, around the harbour and the harbourfront. Land water interface requirements around the harbour have been identified and the importance of planning land-based and water-based uses in tandem, we hope, will have been demonstrated. And a range of potential new projects and programmes for harbour enhancement will have been identified for further review and evaluation. The harbourfront is, to all intents and purposes, now a finite resource. It's essential that it is planned strategically, not with bits of it being planned in isolation. What happens on the water impacts the land and vice versa. Uses of neither land nor water, we think, can be optimised without the adoption of an integrated approach to both. The preferred long-term uses of specific locations may not be achievable in the short or even medium term, but their inclusion in a strategic plan will influence and drive appropriate change in those locations over the longer term, and so facilitate the ultimate delivery of the optimum solution, a harbour of which we can all be proud. Thank you.
Just one question. When do you think you will have completed the study?
We intend to publish the report in April. It should be finished during March.
by Mr. Mano used a piece of work, I think, from which obviously we can benefit. It fits into our early discussion, feeds into our early discussion as well. Clearly, the land-water interface is a key issue that we need to have in mind and bear in mind as we're looking at those proposals. Any questions on the progress of the work to date? Any points members would like to make? Scope, whether they feel there are additional areas that HPF might pick up or might want to consider? Please, thank you. Thank you.
I think in the first place, while I agree that water dependent and water related uses should be accorded priorities, but a note here I think perhaps is we also have to be very careful not to assign too much to the extent that only narrowly defined water dependent and water related uses are allowed. For example, how we think promenades, are they water related or are they provided? Because it seems that the utility and the satisfaction that people get from using open space in the mountain as opposed to the waterfront could be very different, and it's a very difficult to quantify. So while we enjoy the sea breeze, that's why it's so popular for dating, for taking rain photos, and for the tourists. So just a little more of caution here, especially if we were to carry out harbor front or harbor use audit, we should be careful as to what are these uses that are defined as water dependent and water related that shouldn't be too narrowly defined.
Okay. We'll come back to you when we have all the points and questions. Anybody else like to make a point?
Please. Well, I might have missed some of the presentation. I don't know. Has the database included data on land ownership as well?
Sorry, yes.
This is an ongoing study, and obviously HPF will come back to us when they've concluded the piece. Thank you.
So, how do you include proposals for provision of ferry service, which is a very good use of the harbour, which seems to be too much neglected?
Right, just got that one down, please. Anybody else like to make suggestions, ideas? Okay, Maggie, responses.
Sure. The first one, definition of water-related and water-dependent. I absolutely agree. We have had long debates about just where you draw the line. I did put in for both working harbour and I think for public interest in the presentation because, yes, we have got water-related interests, which are those for public enjoyment. But on the other hand, you have to bear in mind that if you have an essential water dependent use, that cannot go anywhere else, and Hong Kong really needs it. I'm sorry, probably somewhere else will have to be used for a piece of water, a promenade, where people can enjoy looking at the water. But you do have to have a balance about this, and this is one of the long discussions we've been having about where you draw the line, where the balance is, and how you might rationalise some of the water, real water dependent uses into a particular area, so that then you can maximise the promenades and the rather attractive waterfront areas we might create. But I think it is a matter of balance, it's a matter of discussion, but I think if you can bear in mind the descriptive sort of strategic plan that I was suggesting, all these topics can be discussed and therefore you then decide where the weight and where the balance lies, and then you do your planning within that parameter, those parameters in that context. As for ferries, yes, we think flexible and more use of the harbour, if possible, for passenger services would be a good idea. Obviously, there are constraints, and we have to work very much within what we think is safe. But yes, we would like to promote more flexible uses on the ferries around the harbour.
Please.
In
the
issue
of study, it's not the Government Commission study. Okay. Now, I like the idea very much about the water-land relationship, the answers on that. Because the previous presentation did not cover the waterfront issues. And because although I really hope that the Harbourfront Commission can take this project, we go to the next step about going for a strategic review, the top-down view.
And then, you know, while the Harbour Commission, I'm not sure, you know, whether we should do the Harbour project, but I do believe that, you know, we do need to involve the planning for waterfront as well. I also like the idea of the attraction act accessibility. And I read from the previous vision statement, we talk about the, you know, the fact that we have to make the Victoria Harbour attractive, vibrant, accessible, and symbolic of Hong Kong, a harbour for the people and a harbour for the life. And then I like the idea very much about the harbour also to make, you know, it attractive for the visitors as well. Because, you know, I from the previous presentation, I really feel that, you know, we focus a lot on project basis, which is also a feeling I had in the previous meetings that being given projects to discuss, which are quite teaching to me as a new member. And then I really hope that we can consider an overall picture, like what we want to see. And actually, in Maggie's presentation just now, I think, you know, she covered something like what we want, you know, the projects and all that, what we want to see in the harbour and in the future. And then after we agree on what we want to see in the harbour, then we can develop into individual focused projects. And then, and also, I'm not sure, you know, the HVAC, whether HVAC has also conducted any surveys or studies of other world-class harbour in other places, and as to whether Hong Kong can replicate or maybe, you know, take some of these ideas into application in Hong Kong without, of course, meeting the local character.
Thank you. I just want to pick up that one about comparisons.
Yes, we did some work at HBO on overseas harbour fronts and harbours and waterfronts generally, which went to form part of a study we published 2 years ago. I have to say that that particular study was more looking at management and operating models more than it was looking at some regulatory models. Then it was looking specifically at designs and attractions that you could have on the waterfront. But a lot of the samples and examples we found that were good harbours, we have got some interesting ones. Also, the HEC did some good work on that and went to see various harbours, but again, mostly focusing on the way they were operated and managed. So we were looking for regulatory models as much as anything else. But there are good examples. There's several organisations worldwide that keep collections of some really interesting waterfronts which one could take examples from. We've also, I think you were saying about some of the projects and programmes, and maybe I didn't make it as clear, but under those headings there are several projects and programmes. They were just sort of given as generic areas that particular sort of areas we're looking at. There are several projects within those headings. And they're all really looked at on a harbour-wide basis. They've been investigated on a harbour-wide basis. So you then decide perhaps to hone in on the best place for them to go. But first of all, you bear in mind what you think you really would like to see in the harbour and what might enhance the harbour, given the various factors that you have to bear in mind about what might be considered to be attractive to both residents and tourists, and then decide where the best place for it to go would be. And then you have to look at how you might procure it, manage it, operate it, etc.
Can I ask the group to do us a favor? Although I understand we are already not paying anything for this very comprehensive and relevant study. Because after all, this is not just any harbor group, this is a harbor business group, which you have the whole city's most intelligent business people including a forum. So I would be extremely grateful if you could do us a favor by giving us a bit more on the business side, on the business case of some of the projects. For example, on Marina, I have been receiving more and more feedback from different people that it's a great pity that with all these waters and islands, you do not have sufficient marina, not only for those very private and luxury yachts, but really for more public type of marina. So how are we going to develop marinas in Hong Kong. I have actually done a little bit of research, which I will share with members later on how we have developed in the past those marinas that we now have. So on marina development, how we could construct a business case interest business people, both local and overseas, in coming in to do marina development. And second area is about ferry services. I'm sure you're aware that my colleague in on the other side, the tribal housing, is struggling with all this maintaining the existing ferry services here. So just to bounce us with another idea of more ferry services is not going to be particularly helpful. But if you could help sort of construct a business case on how additional ferry services could be created, for example, by linking it with the revitalization of piers. So we give away the piers at no cost, no premium, but in addition we want this and that, and the ferries could actually be using the piers and so on. So a business case for achieving some of the objectives that this study has highlighted. And finally, is I remember when we, at the last term of the HEC, when we discussed when we had this task force on the PPP, the management model, we took great care in defining that PPP in our context is not just commercial operations, but also NGOs. Or in our current terminology, it's social enterprises. As many of you know, we used work extensively with super enterprises in heritage conservation. So whether you see potential in some of the projects identified from this study for super enterprises to come in to do some of the projects, because to be very realistic, it's much easier for the government to work with social enterprises these days than with a pure commercial venture, particularly for a common cause. The common topic calls in revitalizing the Victoria Harbour, as we have seen in heritage. So those are the three areas that I would be very grateful if the group could also take into account and come up with some ideas.
Thank you. Roger, I think you want to say something.
Thank you, Chairman. Just as an add-on, really, to the Victoria Harbour strategy plan that we were looking at before the previous paper and this one that's just been presented by the Harbour Business Forum. Actually, at the request of the Deputy Chairman, but also I've been getting feedback from a number of people, that the members of the Commission would certainly welcome an overview or a holistic look at our port operations, commercial port operations, and how the various facilities like the cargo hanging areas and the typhoon shelters link in and where we see it going. So with the permission of the chairman, I would like to get my colleagues and others to put that together and give a presentation at the next meeting. But very briefly, in fact, in the discussion with the Harbour Business Forum, we have been answering questions all along, providing information on this, but in bits and pieces. So the presentation the next time will be looking primarily at the midstream cargo handling operations. We won't talk, I don't think, unless you want to talk about things like the cross-border ferry terminals, because essentially you've only got two there. The midstream is a form of, it's very much to do with our trade. And the view that we see is, in fact, that operation is focused and more focused to the western side of the harbour. There is a long-term strategy to do that. And that indeed opens up the eastern side of the harbour for other activities without any particular definition. So that will be the presentation from the department at the next meeting. If there's any views that the members of the commission have where we can add on to that, then please feel free to let me know. Thank you.
Okay. I think in terms of the backlog, that will be extremely useful. Extremely useful. Okay. Thank you. Please.
I just want to mention a few things that may be helpful to look into it. talk about cross-border that Rich was talking about, especially Hong Kong and China. There's been a few recent new legislations on the support that's been happening in the Corridor of Delta. For example, we talk about Harbourfront. The most important to be most important parts to be taken in Harbourfront are cruise terminals and marinas, as we've identified. In terms of cruise terminals, Guangzhou has not identified a cruise terminal yet, and the government has just recently announced that it is actually proposing plans to build a cruise terminal in the Guangdong province, in Guangzhou city right now, but I have not identified which city. So that may have an effect on the cruise terminal in terms of docking spaces, whether it's more or less we have to be have monitor closely with the neighbors. Secondly, in terms of helicopters, because I see that there will be tied up with a helicopter plant that is also proposed on there. Right now, there's only helicopters flying and sent up from to Macau. But actually, recently, also in Guangzhou, the air restriction just got relaxed as well. Actually, not cross-border, but domestically. So that's also quite a big restriction. And lastly, in terms of marinas, I think there's still certain restrictions going in and out, as Roger knows. But the CIQP in China and Hong Kong is, moving toward a direction of really trying to cooperate together, really under the still right now. Although there hasn't been a recent breakthrough, but I think that both sides are really trying to have more integration. And I'm sure Roger can add more on this report when he talks about it. But these are some of the just news that may have been missed by some people. But I think in terms of program, I think it's on the database, it's still with a lot of information, very useful information. But sometimes there may be some news feed or some kind of filtering so that the major key points can be identified. So that we don't come as a layman, you don't need to look through everything. And then you filter yourself and rather make it simple for people to look at really the bigger breakthroughs. And maybe even, if they say a new cruise terminal being built in Harbour Delta, that how would that affect the piece of land in terms of our cruise terminal? So a new feed that a big breakthrough can actually link to the colouring of the thing. So that makes it very easy for people to look at rather than the daunting and the whole Google Map with all the colours, maybe quite hard. I mean, these are just some of the suggestions that make it easier for laymen to filter through the information.
Thank you. I think we ought to break and move on now. Thank you very much for that presentation. We look forward to seeing you in April.
Please. Thank you.
Just assure Mrs. Mann that we will look into the three issues that she raised.
They're all business related.